We're checking in now with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Some interesting political developments in the state of Utah. Scott, great having you back with us.
It's great to be back, Loman.
Utah isn't a state we talk about very much, but you have a gubernatorial race and U.S. Senator Mitt Romney not running for re-election. There has been some developments in that race as well. So please bring us up to date.
Utah is one of these states where Republican delegates can show up at a convention and help select somebody to make the primary, or candidates can go this really expensive route by getting, I think, 35,000 signatures in order to qualify for the ballot. And so some people take the signature route, some people take the convention route. If you do the signatures, you can only sign for one candidate, right? You can't sign for all four. So substantiating the signatures is a drawn-out process. And a lot of people figure, hey, it's easier just to qualify for the primary if we go this convention route. Well, this last weekend, Utah Republican delegates really voiced their disapproval of the incumbent Governor Spencer Cox at that state GOP nominating convention, where he received only 32.5% of the vote in the final round of voting, while State Representative Phil Lyman received 67.5%, which solidifies his place on the Utah GOP gubernatorial nomination ballot ahead of their June 25th primary. So he and Cox are going to face each other head to head. And obviously, then that'll be a statewide election, not just a convention that determines who the nominee is for November. But obviously, Utah is one of those pretty red states. You know, it can have some political anomalies in terms of the type of Republican that they ultimately nominate. But we do feel like it's going to be a Republican governor there. And, you know, you can look at Mitt Romney, you can look at what Evan McMullen did previously as an independent, where the Democrats endorsed his candidacy up against Mike Lee rather than running a Democrat. The convention process is also interesting because you get some of the most active political folks in the system showing up and having their voice heard. You might remember way back in 2010, Mike Lee defeated incumbent senator named Bob Bennett at the convention, and Bennett didn't even qualify for ultimately for the ballot there. So you can win it outright at convention as well. And in this case, obviously, Cox had the signatures, even though he lost the vote at the convention.
As I mentioned, Mitt Romney, who has been a senator in Utah for, the last 6 years, is not running for re-election. That creates, obviously, an open U.S. Senate seat. As you pointed out, Utah is a very red state, so it's going to be Republican. Who are the candidates who are competing to replace Mitt Romney, and highly likely we're going to get a more conservative U.S. senator out of the process?
From the get-go, it was sort of a toss-up in terms of who the frontrunners are. So first of all, you have a U.S. congressman named John Curtis that is running, and he's got a little bit more of a moderate record, but he's a very, very strong candidate. I think a lot of people kind of consider him to be one of the front runners. And right before the convention, President Trump went ahead and he endorsed a guy named Trent Staggs. Staggs is a mayor in Utah and is running sort of on that MAGA message that a lot of candidates all across the country are trying to rally behind in order to build this consensus for Donald Trump and his agenda. But I think Staggs and Curtis are two of the top candidates. There's also a wealthy man named Jason Walton, and he's an exterminator. I think he's got an interesting message. He's certainly a conservative and has just a lot of support there as well. And then the fourth candidate that's going to make the ballot is a guy named Brad Wilson, who has served in the state legislature, served in leadership, again, a really, really strong candidate. So how does that all shake out, right? You've got Trump basically supporting the MAGA candidate. You've got an establishment candidate with John Curtis. You've got a self-funder with Walton. And then you have Brad Wilson, who served in the leadership and has a little bit of a base as well. We think that that race is going to be incredibly tight. And it's just going to be interesting to see if President Trump shows up and does a big rally for Staggs, or how his time is committed, especially given the fact that this is only about 8 weeks away on June 25th. The other thing to note for this race is former U.S. Senator Orrin Hatch, who passed away a couple of years ago, his son Brent Hatch was a candidate and did not go the signature route. He only sought to qualify via convention. He fell short with his signatures, is what I should say. And he did not make the ballot. He failed at the convention to be in the top two and be reported out. So his candidacy is over.
Very interesting developments in the state of Utah. Meanwhile, back in Washington, D.C., Marjorie Taylor Greene is threatening to try to vacate the speakership once again when Congress comes back to town next week. What is the likelihood that something like that could happen yet again?
The Democrats and Hakeem Jeffries came out and they said that they are going to vote with Republicans to table the motion to vacate the speaker. And what you've seen here is Mike Johnson really navigating a tight thread with the Democrats and Republicans when it came to passing the Ukraine supplemental, when it comes to the negotiations over the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act and whether or not we're going to require a warrant for surveillance by our intelligence communities. And obviously there's, I think, a lot of concern from the conservative side on that. And Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to offer the motion to vacate next week. But the Democrats have shown their cards, and they're going to bail him out here. And so it's a different situation than what we saw last fall with Kevin McCarthy and the eight Republicans that came along and voted with the Democrats to vacate him. Instead, I think you're going to see effectively a coalition government that's going to operate for the rest of 2024, where Democrats and Republicans work with Mike Johnson to pass this must-pass legislation. There's a big FAA reauthorization that I think needs to be wrapped up by the middle of May. And then beyond that, you're going to have an appropriations fight once again on September 30th. And then in the lame duck, who knows what will be on the table when it comes to December. I think a lot of that will be resolved through the electoral outcome for our presidential race and then also control of power in the House and Senate. So it's a pretty exciting time, but I think for everybody that's sort of watching, wondering what's going to happen with Mike Johnson, it's been crystal clear the Democrats are going to pull him through and the table motion is going to pass in order to dispose of the motion to vacate.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. As always, Scott, tell us a little bit about the Club for Growth.
Absolutely. Well, the Club for Growth is a membership organization based out of Washington, D.C., and we are united in this idea of economic freedom and opportunity and liberty. Anybody can sign up for free and become a member at clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you for being here.
Thank you.